yes, they are really watching you now. Next on Principles and Policies.
Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Great to be with you. Great to be face-to-face in the studio. We're finally getting some spring weather.
Woohoo! Okay, well, why are we in the studio then? Why aren't we taking this out on the road? Oh, I know. We don't have wind socks for the microphones, do we?
There are ways to do it, but we don't want to mess with it.
That's right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we will suffer for you in the studio while this beautiful day is going on. Well, anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking this week about a lot of issues, but a lot of the things, including Senator McCain's absolute shock at the idea that members of his own Senate caucus might actually want to use a filibuster, which is a constitutionally protected method of debating or stymieing debate in the Senate. It's an internal check and balance, Chuck, on the wild actions of a Senate gone amok.
Let's make it clear why it's a constitutionally protected thing. It's not actually written into the Constitution.
Not specifically, no.
It's part of the rules of debate inside the Senate. It has been there since the Senate opened, essentially.
And according to the Constitution, that body, the Senate, sets its own rules, and
exactly.
One of the rules that they have set constitutionally is the ability to filibuster.
Yeah, so if you want to go to the Constitution and read where the filibuster is in there, and I've had some people claim that that can be done, and I've had to say, as someone who knows the Constitution fairly well, it's not in there.
Not specifically, but it can be extrapolated, yes.
But the rule is an internal rule, and it's interesting that every time a party gets into a position where they're in a majority but they don't have a majority big enough to kill a filibuster, they always talk about, let's nuke this rule. And in fact, it's been called in the past the nuclear option.
The nuclear option, which, you know, if anybody uses that, that means that they are trying to hide something
yes.
from you.
And essentially what it means is the next time that the Senate changes hands, oops, they're going to be crying. Now, this was guaranteed. Now, let's put it up like this.
Sure.
Harry Reid has talked over and over and over about using the nuclear option when he can't get things through.
Right.
He knows that when he's in the minority, he can cry crocodile tears as big as a pillow, and the media will jump around and say, this was a time-honored rule. Meanwhile, while he's using it, they'll say, this is a great thing, because we're finally breaking up this old-fashioned...
We're stopping the Republicans from jamming it down the throats of the American public.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So this is why, folks, you need to contact Sherrod Brown and say, no getting rid of the filibuster option.
That's right. Or what they would call not getting to cloture, Chuck.
That's right.
That's what it gets down
cloture
to.
Is another word. And they'll use that one. So you'll go, huh? Cloture is whenever you hear that there has to be a cloture vote, that's to see if there is
enough votes to pass. That's right. Okay, but what we were talking about last couple of days included some of the things that we said that John McCain, and especially Charles Schumer, the Democrat senator from New York, actually came out and gave away. And the fact is that, number one, they know that if a gun ban bill, a gun control piece of legislation, if you want to be politically correct about it, gets to the floor of the Senate for debate, it will pass because there are enough votes there who have been persuaded either by money or by emotion to pass a bad piece of legislation. And McCain knows this, and so does Chuck Schumer. And what they're hoping for is to get it out there so that they can get universal background checks and mental health checks on American citizens so that people can be disqualified from owning legal protection measures such as a firearm.
And that's why we've been talking to you about this mental health thing. Yes, do we want people who are insane being able to get a hold of guns? And the answer is, of course, no.
Well, then I believe that our first psychological background check, should they pass, should be on all federal agents, officers, military, and law enforcement.
And as we've explained in the past, there are a number of people in law enforcement who probably, under the stringent conditions they're trying to set up for civilians, could not be allowed to own a gun, possess a firearm.
Oh, I forgot the fifth category, and that would be members of Congress. Now, Chuck, I'm going to almost guarantee you, I've not seen a copy of the bill yet, but I almost guarantee you that somewhere buried in that bill is an exemption for all five of those classes that I just named.
Almost for certain. It's a lead pipe cinch. If we were gambling men, which we are not, both of us would be taking that action.
And then some and mortgaging the house to do
it. Yeah, you betcha.
But the reason why we're so concerned about this, ladies and gentlemen, now here's where we start putting the pieces together for you. It isn't just that John McCain is out there making an idiot of himself. It isn't that Chuck Schumer is being Chuck Schumer and being as liberal as he wants to be and is crying about how he wants to hit the sweet spot and get universal background checks. here's another piece of the puzzle that's coming together. Because recently, there was a solicitation that was posted online, and this was reported back on the 6th, so this is like the 10th today.
Sorry.
This was basically done right before the weekend. Amazing how all this stuff happens on a Friday, Chuck. And so what was happening was on Friday, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the ATF, posted a solicitation up on their website seeking a database. Not just any database, Chuck. They want somebody to design them a database that would be able to pull up personal information, connections, and associates of any individual. Now, it's interesting because some databases like that already exist. Usually it's the FBI and the CIA who have it, and it's usually on foreign nationals that they have those kind of databases where they've phone tapped and they've gotten wire records and they have done surveillance and everything else. But this one's a little different, Chuck, because this is ATF. They want it on searching people who own firearms.
You and me.
You and me.
You, me, and the listeners out there in the audience.
The average, and let me say this word with emphasis, law-abiding citizen of the United States. Now, this is just crazy, Chuck, because they posted this on fedbizops.gov, F-E-D-B-I-Z-O-P-P-S, so Federal Business Opportunities.gov, and they entitled it, quote, investigative system, unquote. And, of course, they made some changes, so they put the updated one there on last Friday on April the 5th. And basically says the system will be utilized, and I'm reading from the wire reports coming out of CNSnews.com by their journalist Gregory Gwynn Williams Jr., who states that the document says that the system will be utilized by staff, quote, to provide rapid searches on various entities. For example, names, telephone numbers, utility data, and reverse phone lookups as a means to assist with investigations and background research on people, assets, and businesses. Now, Chuck, they're going to use this as a repository. So in other words, this isn't data that is covered by the existing federal firearms laws and background checks, which, you remember, they're supposed to destroy all that within 24 hours after clearing somebody on a background check, right?
Yeah.
Not so much anymore, because this is going to be a repository system, which means they're going to hold this data indefinitely.
Barry, we're starting to get into a situation. This looks suspiciously to me like if you've ever seen the movie Minority Report.
I have not seen that yet, but I am going to probably go find a copy of it at my local library here and watch it. And
essentially what it is that the federal government sets up an agency which does a psychological profile on an individual and predicts where and when they will commit a crime, and it simply takes them out before they can commit a crime. This looks like what we're getting into here. It's a dangerous situation, ladies and gentlemen. This is why.
So wait a minute. Before you go further, let me ask you the question. Is what you're saying sounds similar to what we call a psychological profile?
Oh, it is. It's a psychological profile plus.
Which means that it goes into the realm of something that I think you and I have heard discussed before, and it's called psychographics.
Yes.
And it's where you take disparate pieces of information from various databases, and you can basically tell almost everything about a person down to the color underwear they like to wear. And I'm not being facetious, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
I'm serious about this.
If you've seen some of the details, we don't get the real reports.
They can tell you your preferences. They can tell what buttons to push on you when they push advertising toward you to know where your sweet spot is. They can also predict your behavior. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a science. Okay, I'm not making this up. This isn't science fiction. Chuck and I first heard about this back in the 90s, I think, or early 2000s, at a couple of policy conferences we went to where they were discussing the idea because they were starting to do it in schools. They were starting to do it through education where they'd gather all this data. They'd do these surveys on these kids. And then they would use that data, and then they could sell data. You've heard about data selling. You guys get the phone calls all the time for the telemarketers. Where do you think they get your information?
Well, let me ask you a question. You knew this, but let's ask the listeners out there if they know. Every time they fill out a card at the grocery store, at the hardware, at one of the lumber yards, someplace where you go, I've got
okay,
one.
Okay, let's see. There's my gas rewards card.
Your gas rewards.
There's my one of my favorite restaurants rewards. There's my Lego VIP for my kids. There's my loyalty card for my local pharmacist. So yeah, they could pull those records and find out what pharmaceuticals I'm taking. Oh, here's from where I get my car repair stuff.
Well, if you got a library card in there.
Yeah, I got. There's my library card. They know what kind of books I'm checking out. They know the hotels that I'm staying at and when, because there are my cards. They know that I like shopping in used bookstores.
That's right, used bookstore.
And that I like a good suit every once in a while. I mean, folks, my wallet, and I'm very cautious about this, you won't find too many grocery store cards or all of these loyalty cards in my wallet, a small handful, but that's honestly all it really takes.
What we're getting at is we live in an age when companies like to have your information for the purposes of
marketing to you.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing. We live in a very advanced technological age. Technology is not bad. It's how it's used. And in fact, we now live in an age where information on you is out there in databases, and the government is saying, we want to get rid of the Fourth Amendment. We want to get rid of the Fifth Amendment. We want your life to be available to us at any time we want it. And therefore, we're going to write the law in such a way as that all we have to do is go in and flash a badge, and we can get everything about you to build your psychographic file.
Exactly. They know what you look at online. They know who you make phone calls to and when. They know when your kids are texting their friends. Believe you me, any piece of information that's out there can be obtained. ATF really has become fairly transparent about this, because in their solicitation, they basically describe the system, quote, as a massive online data repository system that contains a wide variety of data sources, both historically and current, that can be utilized in support of investigations and backgrounds. Now, wait a minute. If you're not doing an investigation, why are you doing a background on somebody?
Yeah, exactly. And the fact is, what they want to be able to do is instantly pull up whether you are a quote-unquote danger to society. Now, who decides what constitutes a danger to society?
Or what they used to call, when it was legitimate law enforcement, a person of interest.
Yes. And the answer is, they get to determine what's a danger to society.
Well, sure, of course, Chuck. And whoever holds the power gets to determine how the words are defined.
Now, you tie that in with things like, you think red light cameras are only taking your picture if you're passing through a red light, or maybe it's a little pink or a little yellow still. No, that's not what's happening. A lot of these are surveillance cameras, and they're going to what are called fusion centers.
Right, and we need to discuss fusion centers, hopefully maybe on a weekend program.
Yes.
We can unpack what a fusion center
is. Well, we need to find an expert on that, because
I think we know a couple.
I ain't one.
I think we know a couple.
I do. But in any case, what's happening is those that go to fusion centers which use face recognition software, well, is your face in a database? Did you have your driver's license picture taken?
Yes, and does the words Google Earth mean anything to
you? That's right. I looked up Google Earth, and I can see my kids jumping on what used to be a trampoline in the backyard.
That's frightening.
Yeah, that's a little scary.
But here's what ATF's planning on doing, Chuck. Now, it's not only just this repository system, but here's what they said, and this is still from the solicitation, quote, the staff will utilize a number of internal databases, so that's the ones that they're legitimately getting, and if you think alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, what are they pulling up? They're pulling up anytime you buy beer or liquor at a store, tobacco, anytime you smoke, chew, or puff a cigar, or light a pipe up, they know where you're buying it. And firearms, well, we don't even have to go there.
Yeah,
everybody knows
really
what's going on with that. But the point is that the internal databases, as well as external sources. Chuck, there's the red flag
there,
because they're not talking about just sharing agency information between the FBI, the CIA, and ATF, which, by the way, I believe is not legal, but that's never stopped them before. But they are going to the grocery stores and to the phone companies and to your credit card holders and to your libraries. They're going to want that data, and they're going to have a federal writ or a warrant to get that data. And so they want to provide timely and relevant information and intelligence products to law enforcement agencies at the federal, state, and local levels. Now, if you think we're talking about your city police, your county sheriff, think again, my friend, because they say they're going to provide information to intelligence analysts, special agents, inspectors, financial investigators, and law enforcement.
Yeah, so if you've got a business loan out and you're considered to be a danger, maybe you've got maybe a line of credit for cash flow at your business, prepare to lose it. Because if you're deemed to be some kind of quote-unquote threat, which means you may have attended a rally with a Tea Party, or maybe you run a radio show where you talk about issues on the air, or if you've written a letter to the editor that might be considered
inflammatory
or quote-unquote anti-government.
Well, it's not just you, Chuck. It could be one of your relatives, because this database is going to be so hot that it can use people. They can find people, their assets, their relatives, their associates, and more, and they're going to link structured and unstructured data to find connection points between two or more individuals.
I'm looking at the clock. We are out of time. We're going to continue the discussion to see where the logical endpoint is of this, I believe, tomorrow. So join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.